Yud Ches Adar, we're holding in Siman Ein Gimel Halacha Hey, and we're going to Halacha Yud Aleph. So we're up to the fifth condition, very important condition, of when is it that you're allowed to stipulate with the non-Jew that he's going to do work for you, and even if he doesn't on Shabbos, it's okay. The best example actually that we discussed was bringing in a car into a car mechanic or cleaners to be cleaned in a cleaners. As long as they have potential to be done, not to dafka do it on Shabbos, so they could choose to do it on Shabbos because you're not telling them specifically to do it on Shabbos. The payment is for the entire job. They're not considered hired for time or for work, for a date meaning for the day. So the only other condition that we have is also what's called davar mechuba lekarka. Someone just wants something. He has a house, it's been this construction going on. He's in a Jewish neighborhood. What should he do? The non-Jews are very much insisting on working in Shabbos because that's the best time to make up time. And the answer is that this is the fifth condition that Kitzur Shchama speaks about. That when it comes to work being done on karka, meaning land, that includes any fixing to a structure. This also includes landscaping. All these things is usher for a Jew to allow a non-Jew to do so on Shabbos. That means that even though he stipulated that he made all the conditions that we just discussed. However, when there's a shasatchak, as I told this person, there is what to rely on. Even the Kitzur Shchama already points out the Bi'alacha is a long Bi'alacha about this. And one of the reasons is because the whole concern is Maris Ayin. It looks like you're instructing them, it's public. It looks like you instructed them to work for you on Shabbos. And therefore, that's the problem. It's not Nisidur Isis, it's Nisidur Abanan. So, someone to say today that everything is being done usually by contract, and there's not really someone that's hired per day for the day. So, therefore, it should be permitted. That's A, first of all, the reality that's not always like that. And B, at the end of the day, we try to be as much as we can Machmir on Shabbos because, as Almighty pointed out, there's already a Zilzul on Shabbos. So that's why I want you to stay away as much as possible, and this is a special situation. Now, the Kitzur goes on to say that even to carve out and make stones and beams and all these things for building purposes, if it's known that's being done for the Jew, and the Jew, non-Jew is doing it publicly, so then he's not allowed to do it on Shabbos. And again, you have to ask him not to do it. When it comes, like I said, to even work in the field, like I said, the people who have landscapers, definitely you have to tell them not to do it on Shabbos. Now, the Kitzig is an exception. If the non-Jew actually, let's say he's working in the field, one in a Jewish field, but that, and he gets actually, the custom is that he takes a profit, he takes a percentage. So then there's much more room to be lenient in such a case. Also, there's another leniency. Sometimes people own buildings and houses, in neighborhoods that are not populated at all by the Jews. In fact, they're outside of the Tchum, so no Jew's going to be walking by to see the building that take place. There's much more room to be lenient. Now, again, that also has to come with the idea that it's not the workers are not being hired for the day. Schil Yom is still going to be us. It has to be the Kablanus. And again, the logic of that is if I'm telling you to do a job, you're choosing to do it on that day. If I'm hiring you for the days, and then I'm telling you to work for me on Shabbos. So then it's still awesome. If an Andrew ended up building a house on Shabbos and he wasn't supposed to, so the Kitzur says one should be machmir not to enter the house. That's an incredible challenge. Imagine someone builds a $10 million house and then he can't go in. Now, this is even only the place can say, look at the Piskei Tshuva, right? That this is only when it was only done because of Maris Ayin, meaning that it was like a situation that we're discussing where there was at least even room to be lenient. But if someone really went against the halacha and had a non-Jew specifically be hired, let's say, as a working day, not just as a kablanus, that's a major problem. And the Moshe discusses this, what to do, to sell it. And it's very complicated. That's what one should try to as much as it can to avoid these problems. When it's someone that owns a field or a mill, so one's allowed to rent these things to non-Jew. These are interesting shilas. Renting, the Gemara discusses this, and the Shulchan Aruch discusses complicated situations of where a person's renting things to a non-Jew, and even though the non-Jew is working in these areas on Shabbos, it's not a problem because it's not recognizable that it's owned by Jews. So that's where it becomes complicated, and of course you should need speak to a good Rav who knows how to deal with. I have a chavo that I send people usually to make a Heto Mechiras and different types of right of contracts to make sure that if a person owns a business or nursing homes, all the different types of situations where there's money that's being profited and made from Shabbos because a non-Jew is working for the Jew or owns partnership in the buildings. Here we're talking about Well, the case also mentions a mechas, a bathhouse. You can't rent a bathhouse to a non-Jew, because the bathhouse usually was Hashem the Jew. That's usually, it was known that it was owned by the Jew. Sometimes you have cleaners and stuff like that. If it has a Jewish name, it makes it much more complicated for it to operate on Shabbos. And that's what the Kitz himself discusses, glass factories and different things that one should definitely ask a shayla how to work it out so they're not oiver, they're not transgressing the sanctity of Shabbos. When it comes to a non-Jew, and we started discussing this, you have a cleaning lady or someone working in your house, you're not allowed to let them do malacha in your home. And although there's a debate, and in fact, the Chavetz Chaim is more lenient that if, let's say, you have a non-Jew that's making themselves, doing malacha for themselves, I still think that it's, as a kids, or anyway, it says you shouldn't do, you should avoid as much as possible that cleaning ladies and stuff, they know they don't do work on Shabbos, and they can only do things that are permissible. If they do, and especially if it's done for themselves, there's much more room to be lenient, as we said. When it comes to a professional non-Jew that made, let's say, made a garment for a Jew and he brought it on Shabbos, so the Kitzur says you're allowed to wear it, unless you know for sure that he finished it on Shabbos and you're not allowed to wear it, unless there's a big need. Even that's not so simple. So in general, when you have something that was made by a non-Jew to wear it on Shabbos, unless there's a big exception, one should avoid. And the person certainly should not go to stores of a non-Jew. And even a Jewish professional who finished, let's say, a job for a Jew and he needed, let's say, a suit and Shabbos and Yom Tov, best to not do so. There's an exception, and then Kitz already mentioned that if a person, let's say, needs shoes and he goes to a non-Jew that's not a professional and he goes to his house and he wears the shoes, he's allowed to. But that also, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't like so much. If a person walks into a store, he wants to discuss this, you're in your hotel and you want some coffee, and you take off and you say, this is my room, that halachically is permissible because you're not really discussing payment. But that's sometimes to be careful because you can end up doing it in the wrong way. But halachically, when it comes to, especially to food, one's allowed to do so. Things that are brought outside of the tchum, we started discussing this at point, especially when it comes to newspapers and stuff like that definitely one should avoid. If there's a delivery today, you have so many deliveries of Amazon and everything else, when Andrew brings it, you're allowed to certainly direct them to bring it to the house. You just can't obviously discuss any payments or the like, which usually is not the case. And now the kids have discussed is types of utensils that you're used to make to do malach with. Let's say a plow that people use for their own fields. And now Nanja wants to borrow your lawnmower. Can he do so on Shabbos? Can he do so before Shabbos? So interesting. That's Mam Shakes Kitchen says, you're not allowed to rent it to Nanja Shabbos. Shabbos is not allowed to lend it out. And even though there's no problem, what's the problem? So my lawnmower is working in Shabbos. I'm not working in Shabbos. So first of all, the Piskachu is actually quotes a Rekech. There's a famous Rekech that holds that one should be machmir even with what's called shvisas kelim, meaning to say my car and my plow should not be working in Shabbos. Now we don't pass like that, but interesting that it is brought down as something of yirei shemayim. But the halacha, it's not really a problem. But nevertheless, one should not lend it or rent it out an erev Shabbos. Rather, one should do so on Thursday. The reason being is because when it's done in erev Shabbos, it looks like the non-Jew is really a worker for you. He's your shliach. On Thursday, you're already allowed to do so. To lend him, you're allowed to even do it Erev Shabbos. This whole discussion, you could lend things on Shabbos itself. But we're talking about utensils that, even utensils that do malacha, you're allowed to lend him if it's Erev Shabbos. But lechatchila, for sure, these types of utensils, he has to take it out before Shabbos out of his house. And you could even stipulate with a non-Jew that he's going to lend you another time. That's not a problem. We don't say that that's considered really a rental, and you're doing rental, you're renting him specifically on Shabbos, so he should lend you or rent you another time, meaning lend you also. When it comes to renting him utensils that don't do malachas, so you do, like we say, that today of Shabbos, as long as the Nadja takes it out before Shabbos. So when it comes to utensils that are not doing malacha, even malacha drabban, I'm much more lenient with, and so many things you don't do malacha, that technically you could even do, you could even lend the non-Jew on Shabbos as he comes and borrows from you, I don't know, something that doesn't do malacha, you would be allowed to lend him. Now here's where it becomes tricky. When we speak about renting utensils to a non-Jew, even in the ways that are permissible, that's still, like, let's say you're renting him for a week. So he took your car rental, and he's renting it for 2 weeks. So the halacha is you only allowed to do so as long as you're not taking schar Shabbos. Now, kitzur is quite machmir. He says it has to be that in order to be able to charge him for Shabbos, it has to be bavlo. Bavlo means that it's basically swallowed up. So I'm renting it to you for this and this. I'm renting it to you for the next 2 weeks, and this is the sum of money that I'm getting. So it's a month, a week, and he basically is stipulating with him for the week or the month. You're going to give me this and this amount. So, but the problem is that when there's a calculation based on how many days, well, so I rented you for 2 weeks. How many days am I calculating here? According to Kitzur Shochet, it's a problem. So that poskim, like the Mishmur, say that no, that's still okay. Because the payment at the end of the day is coming as behavlah. And that's certainly what I think today many people rely on. There's a whole discussion, famous truth from Moshe, how do we even make money in the bank? When we have interest on money that we have on Shabbos, why isn't that considered Chash Shabbos? Chash Shabbos is also whether it's from a non-Jew or from a Jew. So why am I allowed to keep that money that I made on Shabbos? So one of the answers that the Moshe says, because first of all, the civil day really includes also Motzei Shabbos. So therefore, my calculation is Behavlah, meaning whatever they're giving me, I'm getting something. It's a combination of the hours of Shabbos and the hours after Shabbos, right until midnight. The only tricky part is where it's, let's say, 2 day Yontif or Shabbos and the Yontif. So then I don't have a time where it was permissible. So why am I allowed to give that money? And it's individualized because it's on a daily basis and I'm getting that interest. So Moshe actually writes, in such a case, you should give it to charity. Imagine, I don't know if people do this, make a calculation of that money that they're making on these types of days, and then to give it anonymously. So this way they're not getting any hanafim from it. Have a beautiful Shabbos.